ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदाशिवसमारंभां व्यासशंकरमध्यमां अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वंदे गुरुपरंपरां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनिरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सो नौ वी आर सीइंग दि लास्ट द सेवंथ मंत्र एक्चुअली दि मंत्र इज वेरी सिंपल वी हैव टू मोर मंत्रास इन द होल उपनिषद द लास्ट एक्चुअली वी हैव ऑलरेडी सीन द मंत्र The eighth mantra again prescribing some disciplines to be followed by a sadhaka, with which the Upanishad ends. But the seventh mantra itself is a very simple mantra wherein the student asks the teacher to teach him Upanishad. Upanishadam bo bruhi. And this very question on the part of the student is something very unusual. It must be. Why? Because the teacher had taught the entire Upanishad. In the sense, he has given the complete vision of the Upanishad in the first two chapters itself. Again, he elaborated the same teaching through the story, you know, and the rest of the chapters, which means the teaching is over, complete. After the completion of the entire Upanishadic teaching, the student is asking again, Upanishadam bo bruhi. And the teacher is giving the answer. What is that? He gives two answers, one answer in two voices. One answer in active voice, one answer in passive voice, but same meaning. Ukta te Upanishad. The Upanishad has been already taught to you. Upanishad has already been taught to you. Then, Brahmim vava te Upanishadam abruma. Abruma. We have already taught you the Upanishad. Actually, Upanishad is what now? Specifically, Brahma Vidya. Brahmi Upanishad. Brahmim Upanishadam Abruma. We have already spoken to you, elaborately discussed, we have already taught you the Upanishad, you know, in terms of Brahma Vidya. The two replies of the teacher, one in active voice and one in passive voice, only affirms that the teaching is over. Teaching is over. So Shankara finishes his bhashyam very quickly. Upanishadam rahasyam yachintyam boho bhagavan bruhiti. Evam uktavati sishye acharyaha ukta abhitate tava upanishad. Even now, uktate, the Upanishad has been already taught to you. Finished. But still, then Shankaracharya takes this question, why does this student ask after the teaching is complete, isn't it? What should the student ask? The Shankaracharya wants to pick up that, take this mantra's meaning, and then he wants to see, make it very significant one, wherein he wants to negate that jnana karma samuchaya vada. Jnana karma samuchaya vada means the argument of the people wanting to synthesize jnanam with the karma as a means of knowledge. In fact, in Taittiriya Upanishad, after Sikshavalli, when he writes Bhakshyam on Sikshavalli, and he presents a big argument, Shankaracharya's big teaching is negation of jnana karma samuchaya vadaha. In Taittiriya Upanishad, Bhakshyam, the very significant, one of the significant the commentaries, the significant topics Shankaracharya comments upon is this negation of jnana karma samuchaya vada. Mainly there he puts five different questions. Is jnanam alone the means of the attainment of moksha? Or is karma independently the means of the attainment of moksha? Or is jnanam supported by karma, which means jnanam as a predominantly required means, but which requires support of karma as a means of moksha? Or karma as a predominantly means the support of the jnanam as a means of moksha? Or both jnanam and karma equally, together, both together as a serve as a means of the attainment of moksha. He presents five. Jnanameva mokshaya sadhanam, uta karma mokshaya sadhanam, or jnana pradhana karma mokshaya sadhanam, or karma pradhana jnana mokshaya sadhanam, or karma jnana, samanyena, isn't it? Samatvataya sadhanam. Between both together, 50-50, isn't it? Jnanam and karma both had to be synthesized together, equally important, a sadhanam for moksha. So he asks five questions and he answers each question and he negates all the four, and finally he establishes knowledge alone is enough for the attainment of moksha. And for Shankaracharya loves that negating jnana karma samuchaya. Wherever he wants to blast this karmakanda people, in a sense, what he means is, for moksha you need only jnanam. If moksha is not the purusharta, then you better go elsewhere, go be with karmakanda, do karma and work hard and do all possible and try to achieve anything you want to achieve in life. Is it only moksha if you want? For that, all that you need is jnanam. And anything you do, all only prerequisites for you preparing your mind for jnanam. But after jnanam, you don't need any karma. That is his main teaching argument, isn't it? So he negates all the four different answers he gives for all the questions, which means he negates all the four points, and he only establishes how jnanam is the only means for moksha. So that he picks up here also, he uses this context to put that argument to make it very clear again. So we were seeing last class whether this karma, the student has a doubt, why the student is asking. The very question the student is asking is, Because the teacher has not, after the completion of the Upanishadic teaching, the teaching is over, and what should the teacher have done? He must have completed that with the Shanti Pataha, completed the teaching with the conclusion, concluding mantra. Isn't it? He has not completed it, concluded it with the Shanti mantra, which means he is finally one more mantra. Upanishad is ending with what? With some mantra, wherein again the upasana, disciplines are prescribed. The prescription of few more disciplines, a mantra is presented, with which the teacher is concluding the chapter. This is the doubt. Because after the teaching, the complete teaching is completed also, still the teacher, one more mantra is following, and where the disciplines are prescribed, therefore the doubt is there anything that has to be followed or practiced in support of karma, jnanam, after the jnanam? That doubt, maybe the student has, that's why he must have asked this. One reason is given. And one more thing that is said here is, okay, so we can say sometimes the karma or the practice, any spiritual discipline which has to be followed, maybe he says in two ways, maybe as a supplementary, as a supplement of this jnanam, which is a part of the, if jnanam is the angi, and as the part of that angi, jnanam, some anga, isn't it? As a part of that, should we add any karma? Any practice of any discipline, is it required after the attainment of jnanam for moksha? Isn't it? So, as a supplement, do we need anything? Should we practice anything as part of the, knowledge which has to be practiced, for attainment of moksha? Or not as part of the jnanam, but as a separate, independent means which also is required, along with the jnanam for moksha. He said, as a supplement or as a complement, isn't it? If he says a complement, means it is something supportive. It is part of the jnanam. Complement. Supplement means something else which has to be added, isn't it? So, as a supplement or as a complement, do we need anything, any other discipline or anything, any karma which has to be practiced or followed or performed, for the attainment of moksha? That doubt comes. This all we saw last class. No, Raniji, this all we saw somewhere. And he also makes it very clear. He mentions a teacher from Aitareya Upanishad, a Rishi Pippalada. And Pippalada makes it so clear like that. After jnanam, nothing else is to be required. Like that, make it very, very clear. Make your teaching very explicit. Whether you need something else more than jnanam for moksha, or something else that has to be added as complement, something else has to be added as supplement for jnanam as means of moksha, or we don't need jnanam itself is enough. Then please make that answer very clear and explicit. That's what the student asked. We have to read from there. Yetade upapannam acharyasya avadharana vachanam ukta te upanishaditi. Yeah. So, yetad upapannam acharyasya avadharana vachanam. So, acharyasya avadharana vachanam. Avadharana vachana means the statement of confirmation, statement of affirmation, the statement of reinforcing statement that no, the teaching is over, which means the knowledge does not require anything anymore for moksha. After the attainment of jnanam, No, nothing else needs to be practiced or done. Nothing else needs to be present in support of jnanam for moksha. That is the avadharana vachanam. What is that vachanam? Uktate Upanishad. The Upanishad has been taught to you means the teaching is over. Teaching is over means apart from jnanam, nothing else needs to be, after once knowledge is given to you, knowledge itself is enough. You do not need anything anymore, isn't it? That Upanishad has been taught to you, the teacher's answer only confirms. What confirms? That is, confirmation is called avadharanam here. The teacher's statement that Upanishad has been taught to you is a confirmation that knowledge does not require anything anymore in support of it to serve as a means of the attainment of moksha. Is it clear? Okay. Now we have to. That's why the Purupaksha comes. Look at this. That Nanu onwards Purupaksha comes. Is it clear? So the student would have what would have been the intention of the student when he asked the teacher, "Oh teacher, please teach me Upanishad." The intention Shankaracharya commented. Maybe the student wanted to know that anything else needs to be added to the jnanam, supplement as a supplement or complement, make it effective. Maybe that must have been the intention of the student. So, understanding the intention of the student, the teacher also gave the answer very emphatically. Twice he said the same answer, implying, no, finished. That's all. Nothing else needs to be taught to you. Is it? He finished that. Okay? But now, the Purupakshi comes. Look at this. Nanu. Na avadharanam idam. So that stop here. The Purupakshi is a jnana karma samuchayavadi. He comes and says, he means such the samuchayavadi. Now you have to remember, he is asking now, nanu na avadharanam idam, because this answer of the teacher, the Upanishad has been taught to you. Is not the confirmation that the knowledge alone is enough for moksha. Na avadharanam idam. Idam vachanam na avadharanam. This statement of the teacher that Upanishad has been taught to you, the teaching is complete, jnanam itself is enough. No? That statement does not confirm what? That knowledge is enough for moksha. Why it is not the confirmation? Why should we not take it as confirmation? Because the reason he gives, Purupakshi gives, yataha, because, yataha, anyade, bhaktavyam, aha, yataha, because, why the teacher's statement, the Upanishad has been taught to you, does not confirm that knowledge being enough for moksha. No? Why? Because yataha anyade vaktavyam aha. Because the teacher has something else yet to be said. Isn't it? The teacher has not completed. Even though the teacher says the teaching has been given to you, but he has not concluded the Upanishad with the Shanti Mantra. Which means, Vaktavyam Aha, there is something else the teacher has to say. The teaching is over, means why he has something else, why does he have to say something else more? Vaktavyam means to be said something, isn't it? The teacher still has something which has to be said. Vaktavyam Aha. And what is that? The following mantra he mentions. Tasyai tapo damaha karma iti pratishta vedaha. சர்வாங்காணி
சத்யமாயத்தனம்.
I'm reading the whole mantra from the next line, okay? Don't touch for it. So, here the student is quoting this mantra. And what is this eighth mantra, the following mantra? The mantra, you know, consisting of few more disciplines, no, to be followed by any sadhaka. It is this presentation of this one more mantra prescribing the disciplines, no, has become what now? Has become something you wanted to explain. That can be mistaken, but now this Pura Pakshi, because the Upanishad is not complete with the Shanti Mantra, even after the teaching is over, even though he says, I have taught you Upanishad, still he continues with something else. That is the proof that it is not the Avadharanam, it is not the confirmation. The teacher's statement does not confirm the fact that knowledge itself is enough for moksha. Is it clear? Okay, we'll go to the next line now. Now the teacher says, yes, I agree what you say. Look at this. Satyam vaktavyam uchyate acharyena. Yes, my dear student, you are perfectly right. You are not wrong. This teach the vaktavyam uchyate acharyena. Uchyate acharyena. Satyam, that's true. Because what you say is true. The teacher has something which has said to be said. But the teacher has something more which has said to be said. You think, and what he has said to say happens to be the mantra prescribing the disciplines. And you think that, isn't it? Something needs to be done along with the jnanam for moksha. Vaktavyam acharyena. Which means half, it's called accepting the students. No? Yes, the teacher, he also agrees. Yes, one more mantra is following. I agree. But not as you think. Not as a supplement of the jnanam. What the teacher wants to say more, in terms of the prescription of disciplines, etc., it is not as a supplement of the jnanam or not as a complement of jnanam. Is it clear? But what? It's not for that. So that's what he says here. Therefore, agree with what you say. Half of, it's called Ardha Angikaraha. Ardha Angikaraha means I agree with what you say. The teacher has something more to say. That I agree. But what he has to say is more, what he wants to say more, that as not you think. Not as a supplement for jnanam or complement for jnanam. So he says, Nanu Ukta Upanishad Seshataya Tat Sahakari Sadhanantara Abhiprayenava. He says, Nanu Ukta Upanishad Seshataya. Upanishad Seshata means what now? Seshataya means as a supplement of knowledge, as a complement of knowledge. Isn't it? What has been said, Upanishad Sesham. So, whatever the teacher is going to say, or whatever the teacher says, the following mantra, that is not said as something in as a complement which is not a complementary for jnanam. Seshata means which serves as part of the knowledge. So the practice of disciplines prescribed in the following mantra, not prescribed as part of the knowledge, not as complementary of jnanam, or Sahakari sadhananta, sahakari. Sahakari sadhana means a supplement otherwise. There's a difference, isn't it? See, the Upanishad Seshata means as a part of knowledge. Isn't it? So if I do something with one hand, if we also use another hand, this hand becomes what now? Complementary, isn't it? Suppose I do it myself, I also ask Radhniji to come and support, become two different, it's a complement, supplementary. So like that, jnanam, does jnanam require something as supplementary or as complementary? A separate independent support or a support part of the jnanam itself. This is called two. So, seshataya asahakari sadhanantara abhiprayenava na, this is a teacher's answer here, no, you are don't misunderstand. The following mantra prescribing the disciplines is presented not as a complement of knowledge or not as supplement of knowledge. Not the intention of complement or supplement of knowledge. Kintu, parantu, kintu, but. Then what is it meant for then? If the following mantra prescribing the disciplines is not presented as a complement of knowledge, not presented as supplement of knowledge, then what is it for? What is the purpose? That he says, Brahma Vidya, say no? Prapti, Upaya, Abhiprayena. That's very important. Brahma Vidya Prapti Upaya Abhiprayena. Brahma Vidya Prapti Upaya Abhiprayena. The following mantra prescribing the disciplines in terms of practice of karma, etc., is presented with an intention of the intention of the means of with intention presented as a means required for the rising of knowledge, not a supplement or complement of knowledge. For the attainment of prapti upaya, for the attainment of knowledge, it serves as a means. It is the prapti upaya, Brahma Vidya prapti upaya, but not Brahma Vidya sahakari sadhanam or sesha sadhanam. Understand? It is not for the supporting the knowledge. It is not for support of knowledge in terms of complement or in terms of supplement. But it is prescribed as a means of attainment of knowledge. Means of it, because it serves as means for the rising of knowledge. How? In terms of preparing the mind where the knowledge has to rise. Is it clear? So it is something prerequisite for knowledge. It is not post-requisite for knowledge. Is it clear now? So this word he makes it very clear. So sesha upanatu ukta upanishate seshataya tat sahakari sadhanantara abhiprayena va kintu sarva vidya brahma vidya prapti upaya abhiprayena. Brahma vidya prapti upaya abhiprayena, only presented as a means of preparation, okay, required for the rising of the knowledge. Okay, now he gives example also. Vedaihi tadangaischa karmanaha. I had our karma sahapathena samikaranat tapav prabhrutanam. Okay, now she teaches completing with this very clear. He makes very, very clear. Look at this. See, Vedehi tadangaihi cha. When we the Veda, study of the Vedangas, all of them, presented as prescribed as what? Prescribed as the means of preparation of the mind for knowledge. It's a prerequisite, thing for jnana. Which the study of the Veda, study of the Vedangas, they're all prescribed as prerequisite for jnanam or postrequisite for jnanam. Prerequisite because service means of knowledge, isn't it? Similarly, karma also are studied along with the Vedanga and Veda and Vedangas, isn't it? So performance of karma also is prescribed when only as a prerequisite means along with the study of the Veda, along with study of the Vedanga, karma also goes together, isn't it? Karma goes together. All of them are required only before the jnanam, only for the preparation required for jnanam. Therefore, after the jnanam, what happens? The entire Veda becomes unwanted. It's typically like how when you climb onto climb somewhere, you use the ladder. Again, you don't need the ladder after you have climbed on. It has to be given up. Even for the sake of being grateful, you can't hold on to the ladder. Similarly, even the Veda, you can be respectful to Veda, you can have respect for Veda, but even the Veda Pramanam, you have to give it up afterwards. Why not? You have to give it up. Because Veda does not serve the purpose anymore. It served its purpose. That's when Gita also has a verse, isn't it? So, after Jnanam, even the Veda, Vedangas, all of them, which served as means of preparation required for the jnanam, they all become, they're not required. Similarly, karma also is not required after the jnanam. Samikaranam means equated. The performance of karma is equated to what now? Patena saha samikaranat. The performance of rituals, performance of actions, practice of disciplines, etc. is equated to the study of the Veda and Vedangas. Equated means what? They're all equated means the study of the Veda, Vedangas, etc. do not serve the purpose after the jnanam. They're not required. Similarly, karma also is not required after the jnanam. See, karma can be performed. That's a different thing, isn't it? Disciplines can be practiced after that also. But for moksha, they are not required. They do not serve any purpose. They're not required. Isn't it? That's what he wants to say. Nahi Vedanam Sikshadi Angananche Sakshad Brahma Vidya Seshatvam Tatsahakari Sadhanatvam Va Sambhavati. Okay, so what he says is very interesting, very important teaching you have to learn, note here. Vedanam Sikshadi Anganam Cha. Okay? The Vedas and Vedangas, all of them, they are all prescribed for study, isn't it? They are all studied. But one, Sakshat Brahma Vidya Seshattam Tatsahakari Karnatvam Va Na Sambhavati. The study of the Vedangas do not serve as study of the Veda Vedangas do not serve as supplementary, complementary or complementary for jnanam, after the attainment of jnanam, they are not required. Why? Because here something you have to understand. It is typically like, when there is darkness, to remove the removal of darkness is the main aim, isn't it? For removal of the darkness, what you need is only flame of light. You need a flame, isn't it? All that you need is a flame for removal of darkness. Light you need. For the light you need, only flame must be there. Flame is of the nature of light. So you need the light. But for the light, light alone, the flame alone is enough for removing the darkness. Nothing else is needed. But for the flame to rise, for the flame to come into existence, you need so many sahakari sadhanas, isn't it? You need a container lamp, you need the oil, you need the wick, you need even the matchstick and matchbox also. Because, isn't it? Matchbox, matchstick, wick, oil, lamp, all of them serve as what now? Prerequisite sadhanani. How long? They all are required for what? No? That jwala prapti upaya, upayatvena. Isn't it? They are all required for the attainment of the flame. Only for the flame has to have, for the flame you need all of them. Once the flame you have got, after having the flame, after having the rising of the flame itself is enough for the removal of the darkness, isn't it? Then wick does not remove the darkness. What is that which does the job of removing the darkness? Does the wick do? Does the oil do? Does the lamp do? The removal of ignorance is done only by flame of fire, not anything else. So for the rising of the flame, you need all other things. Once the flame has come, then flame takes care of, its job is removal of ignorance, darkness. Similarly, Veda Adhyayanam, Veda Anga, Karma, the disciplines, all of them are required, you know, before Jnanam. After the Jnanam takes care of what? The removal of ignorance. Is it clear? He wants to say one more thing. He is going to say that also. Suppose, it's also said, when you use this sense organ, no? Any sense organ, every sense organ is involved in two different functions, which means one function is the function of being the pramanam. It serves as a means of knowledge. But once it has served as a means of knowledge, after the rising of knowledge in the mind, it doesn't serve as means of knowledge anymore. What does it mean? Look at this. Suppose when you all come here, I make tea for all of you. Even though you don't like to drink tea with sugar. So I put sugar and give you tea. Sweetest tea I give you. And I ask, is it sweet or not? When you take the cup, you are ajnani, sweet ajnani. Sweet ajnani, you do not know whether the tea has sweetness or not. But when you drink it, the first sip is enough for you to know whether you have sweet jnanam. What? The tea has sugar, that jnanam takes place to the instrument called rasana, rasanendriyam, to the instrument of the sense power of taste. Only when you have the first sip, then you continue to drink. Rajneji pours it into the because it's too sweet, he pours it on. Why? You know, he can't drink it, it's too sweet. Peterji drinks. Okay, he likes sweetness. He drinks it. What I'm saying here? The difference is, then what happens? He no more after the jnanam, when he continues to drink the tea, then the tongue, same tongue, initially which served as a means of knowledge of sweetness, is no more the means of knowledge of sweetness. Now it has become what? It is not pramanam anymore. Now it is bhoga indriyam. Jnana, it's an object, it's a sense organ of instrument of enjoyment, instrument of experience. So jnana indriyam also serves as bhoga indriyam. Got it? Got the point? Bhoga indriyam. So only when you drink first sip, it is jnana indriyam. After that, bhoga indriyam. When you enter here, is there Swamini sitting there? Until you came in, you saw me, your sense, your eyes are what? Jnana indriyam. Is it? Once you see me, after seeing me, you keep on seeing me, it is what? Bhoga indriyam. See, so then until he finished drinking the tea, the tongue which served as an instrument of knowledge, pramanam, is no more pramanam, apramanam. It's pramanam only until the jnanam takes place. After the jnanam, it is not pramanam. So when you use the indriyam as a means of knowledge, you are a pramata. After having the jnanam, when this instrument becomes the bhoga indriyam, jnana indriyam becomes bhoga indriyam, instrument of enjoyment, you become a bhokta. Enjoy your experience of the sweetness. Is it clear? Similarly here also what he wants to say, this Veda Vedangas also, the person is very clever. No? Shankaracharya is very, Advaita is very good. Vedas, Vedangas, all of them serve as means of knowledge, contribute for the rising of knowledge. Veda, all the Upanishads, everything. So, the karma also equated to Veda Vedangas. So all of them serve. So karma, as a karma yoga, serves an indirect means for the attainment of knowledge. So isn't it? So Veda, Vedangas, karma, all of them serve as the attainment of, serve as means of attainment of knowledge. Once the knowledge has risen, then Veda itself is not required. Apramanam. Vedaha avedaha bhavati. Veda pramanam becomes apramanam. Until jnanam, during jnanam, Veda serves as a pramanam. After jnanam, Veda also becomes apramana, means it does not serve as means of knowledge anymore, which means it is not required, it becomes redundant, it becomes irrelevant. In the same way, always karma, disciplines, etc. are equated to Veda Vedangas. They also become redundant, useless. Therefore, jnanam, after the attainment of knowledge, no practice of disciplines, no practice of meditations, no performance of rituals, no performance of karma, nothing is required as a supplement or complement of jnanam for the attainment of moksha. Is it clear? That's what he wants me to say. So, nahi vedanam sikshadi anganam cha sakshad brahma vidya seshatvam tat sahakari sadhanatvam va sambhavati. Never. Okay? Neither does it become the supplement, nor does anything becomes supplement also for jnanam. Jnanam itself is enough. Exactly like the flame does not require anything in support for removing the darkness. For the flame to rise, they were all required. After the flame is risen, then flame does not require anything as a part of it, as a complement or as a supplement, it does not require anything else for removing darkness. Similarly, Jnana Maha does not require anything else. Now, again, Purupakshi continues. Look at this. Saha patitanamapi yatha yogam vibhajya viniyogasyat iti chet yatha suktavaka anumantrana mantranam yatha daivatam vibhagah tatha tapodamak karma satyadinamapi brahma vidya seshatvam tat sahakari sadhanatvam va iti kalpyate. The poor Pakshi will not leave. He wants to make it little more clarity. He wants to make it. He still is trying to argue. For him, something needs to be practiced. How knowledge is not enough. Something needs to be done. It is required. No tapaha, the practice of austerity, practice of disciplines in terms of shamaha, dhamaha, etc. Even performance of rituals, karma, you know, all of them are definitely required as what? Either as a complement of jnanam or a supplement of jnanam, it is still required. Like what he says, he gives the example. Look at this, very clever. See, it's all Vedic examples, okay? You have to understand this. When we perform rituals, okay, so that's another story like. Whenever we perform rituals, you know, performance of fire rituals is called havanam, you know, homaha, yajnaha, we say. In the temples at homes also, we used to perform rituals. See, performance of ritual is a form of worship. The worship means what? Actually, expressing our gratitude to devatas. The phenomena, isn't it? And how do we express gratitude to the devatas? By offering oblations to the devatas. Oblation means the food, isn't it? So in order to offer oblations to devatas, you have to invoke, we have mantras, we have to first invoke their grace. We have to invite the devatas. Even whenever we invoke Bhagavan here, we invite Bhagavan here. You know that? We have to invite. It's typically like any wedding or any function. When you want somebody to come to your house for food, you can't expect somebody to come walk in, no? You have to fix the date, time and place, and you have to give the proper invitation. As a phone, over the phone, you call the person and invite the person properly, with respectfully, to come to your house for food, lunch or dinner, isn't it? It's like inviting people. Typically, we also invite the devatas. When you perform a ritual, there are mantras and with use chanting which we invite the devatas. And the devatas come. We assume they come. And we offer oblations. We invite, we leave it. Then they come. And then they come and they're sitting there. Now you offer oblations. You give oblation. Offering oblations means giving food to devatas. And after when the ritual is over, when everything is complete, and we have to see them also. Isn't it? How we go near the car, go to the doorstep. We don't just send them like that. The send off. So you properly receive. You have to receive the guests properly, and entertain them carefully, happily, and then with the gifts and things, and send them off. Isn't it? Something called sending off also. Proper sending off. And once they, from the time they come, from receiving, entertaining them, and sending them off, that is why it's a very, you have to expect a lot of care, warmth, and respect also. They should feel at home. It's very important, isn't it? This is called Atithi Samskara. How to treat a guest. When you invite devatas for taking food through rituals, and you assume that they have come and they are there, and with all reverence you offer oblations, and even everything is over and the ritual is complete, and they have to send them off. We have to send them off. There is a proper way of sending the devatas off. And for sending off also we have some mantras. And those mantras to be recited for sending off the devatas are called Anuvaka, the Suktavaka Amantraha. Suktavaka Mantraha means the mantras to be recited at the end of the rituals and which are meant for the Visarjana Mantraha. Devata Visarjana Mantraha means sending them off mantras. This Pura Pakshi talks about those Suktavaka Mantras. So, Suktavaka Anumantranam. Anumantranam means, sending them off. The sending of mantras. Suktavaka Anumantrana Mantraha means the mantras to be recited for sending off the devatas. They are called Suktavaka Anumantrana Mantraha. But those mantras are different. How many mantras are there? Suppose there is one mantra. Suppose if I receive Radhaniji, I have to tell him separately, please come, please sit and please take. And please, when you say, Radhaniji, thank you, bye. When you come and you go also, I have to say, I can't say one thank you, bye to Radhaniji and I can't see all of you. For every one of you, thank you, Nina, bye. Thank you, Rajaji, bye. Thank you, Krishnakumarji, bye. I have to say bye to every one of you individually. Suppose if I don't tell you, if I tell only Radhaniji, and you will feel, yeah, she came out and she only acknowledged Radhaniji's presence and Radhaniji's visit, and then she didn't say any bye to me before I left. I left and she didn't even recognize my leaving, that something we pick up. So, in devatas also, we Agni, Vayu, all these different devatas we invite. For inviting them, all we have different mantras. We have send off mantras also, different mantras are there for different devatas. Isn't it? So sometimes we don't invite all the devatas together. Only some devatas we invite. But in Suktavaka Anumantana Mantraha means all the mantras are there together. Isn't it? They're all one by one. All the mantras are together in the Veda. But what we do? Do we chant all the mantras together? No. We only take the relevant mantras of relevant devatas whom we have invoked and we have invited. Only those Suktavaka Anumantana mantras we recite to send off those devatas. If we recite all the mantras, the devatas who were not invited, who have not come to us, they also become unnecessarily sent off. Unnecessary sending of mantras for people who have not come at all. Now, the devatas have not even come. Not necessary. which means you only select the mantras. Consider, even though all the mantras are together, you know, there is a proximity of the mantras. But still, all of them are not similar. Which means, you only select the appropriate mantras, use them, you know, for relevant for the occasion. Similarly, this Pura Pakshi is using that example. How we use that relevant, only relevant mantras of the relevant devatas alone we chant, recite, not all the mantras. Similarly, even though Veda, Vedanga, Karma, etc. are all put together, they all put together means they all come under the same cat, they all remain together, they are closely presented, isn't it? But still, there again, the proximity of all of them, proximity, the closeness of all of them, like Karma, Veda, Vedanga, Karma, etc., they're all together, but they do not enjoy the similar status. Similar status means what? Veda, Vedanga is Pramanam. He says, yes, I can understand. You say that's true. The Pramanam, you know, the Pramanam is not required after Jnanam. That is true. So, Veda, Vedanga, Pramanam, we don't require after Jnanam. We can leave Veda and Vedanga as Pramanam. Veda, Vedanga means the Upanishads, etc. All the pre-entered Pramanam Grantha. Veda, we can leave aside. We don't need Veda. After Jnanam, Veda is not required. Why? Veda, entire Veda, has served its purpose, you know, in terms of producing the Jnanam, production of knowledge. So we don't need. But what is required after Jnanam also is not the Veda Vedangas, but Karma is required. Because Shankara, first the answer was given, what that? The karmas also are equated to Veda Vedangas. Veda Vedangas are not required after Jnanam. So karma also is not required after Jnanam. He said that. Now what this Purapakshi says, Purapakshi answer is what? No, karma, Veda Vedanga, which serve as a means of attainment of knowledge, pramanam we don't need. You are right. Because no more pramanam. Pramanam becomes a term. Jnana Indriyam itself is not Jnana Indriyam afterwards, it's a Bhoga Indriyam. So Veda, which is a Pramanam, becomes a Pramanam, Avedaha after the Jnanam. It is no more relevant. You can throw it away. But Karma, we can't give it up. Like what? Like even though all the Suktavaka, Anumantrana, Mantraha, all of them are together, you know, closely put together, but all of them do not enjoy similar status, which means what? All of them need not be chanted. Only some mantras alone we select, and some mantras alone we chant, in keeping with the required, in keeping with the devatas who are present. Only to send them off, we have only those mantras, not all the mantras. Is it clear? Similarly here also, even though they're all together, karma, Veda, Vedanga, karma, all of them are together. So even though Veda, Vedangas are required before Jnanam, but karma alone, understand? Veda, Vedangas are not required after Jnanam, but karma alone is required after Jnanam. It is Purapakshi's argument. Look at this. Shankara goes further. Vedanam tadanganancha artha prakashakatvena karma atmajnana upaya nimittam evam hi ayam vibhagaha yujyate. Now still Purapakshi is talking, okay? Artha sambandha upapatti samarthyat Iti chet.
Iti chet.
Till here, Pura Pakshi only. Okay? Therefore, he says, therefore, Vedanam tadanganam, you are right, artha prakashakatvena. Artha prakashaka means, serve as means of the knowledge. Artha prakashakam, artha prakashakatvam they have. Vedas, Vedangas, they all of them serve as the enjoyed status of being the revealer of the meaning. Understand? They serve as the means of knowledge. But, and knowledge of what? Knowledge of karma and atma. Karma jnanam, atma jnanam. The entire Veda, the Vedangas serve as what now? The revealer of the meaning of the mantras, which means they produce jnanam. The service means of the knowledge of karma and jnanam. You also know the, you have the knowledge of the karma, you have the knowledge of the atma also. Karma kanda blesses you with knowledge of karma, and upasana kanda blesses you with the knowledge of upasanas, and jnana kanda blesses you with the knowledge of atma jnanam. So they bless you with the knowledge. That's true. Upayatvam iti evam vibhagaha yujyate. Artha sambandha upapatti samarthyat. Upapatti samarthya means here, the reasoning here. The upapatti samarthya means the strength of the reasoning. Strength of the reasoning means what? Anything which serves as a means of knowledge is not required after the knowledge. That is true. That the purpose has served, they have served the purpose. That is true. This is called what now? This is how you understand. The means of knowledge is not required after the raising of the knowledge. This is the reasoning, and very strong reasoning, isn't it? We all know that very well. So with the strength of the reasoning that a means of knowledge is not required after the jnanam, I do accept your thing. We do not require Veda Vedangas after the jnanam. But what is required is karma. What karma? Is tapaha, damaha, karma, etc. are still required after the jnanam. Also, like what? Like how all the mantras, all send off mantras of all the devatas are not required. Only relevant mantra, relevant, suktavaka mantras of, suktavaka mantras are required for relevant devatas for sending off. Similarly, we need what now? What is relevant here after jnanam? Not the pramanam. But karma is required. Got it? Hope you got it. Simply he wants to say all those things. Then, now our answer comes. Our answer means what? Not Purupakshi is finished. Purupakshi thinks very happy. I have really given a nice, properly I have put my thing, I have put my argument very correctly. Now let him answer. Let me see what answer he is going to give. I have given proper example, isn't it? Na ayuktehe. The very answer begins. Completely illogical is your argument. Na ayuktehe. Okay? Yuktihi means, isn't it? Reasoning again. Na yuktehe. Na, he says, na ayuktehe. Na. First, na. No. Karma, dhamma, tavakka, etc. are not required. Why? Because ayuktehe, due to its non-reasoning. It's being non, is it? Illogical. Due to its being illogical. Nahi ayam vibhagaha ghatanam pranchati. See, nahi ayam vibhagaha. This separation of Veda Vedanga and karma, like your separation of the relevant mantras of relevant devatas, you know, other mantras, irrelevant mantras and relevant mantras, in keeping with the presence of devatas. There it is okay, but it is not okay here. Where? When the devatas come, I invited some few devatas, we had three, so many devatas are there, and when you perform given rituals, invite few devatas, so your relevant mantras you use to send the relevant devatas off, that's perfect. But such a division here, but here, Karveda Vedangas and Karma, all of them are together means, here such division is not, no, does not hold any support. Vibhagaha Ghatanam na pranchati. Ghatanam na pranchati. Does not hold any property. Understand? Nahi. He gives the answer why. Okay? Why anything is not required after jnanam. Not only pramanam is not required, even the karma also is not required. Then he going to give a proper answer now. Nahi. Sarvakriya. Karaka. Phalabeda. Buddhi. Phalabeda buddhi. Tiraskaranya. Brahma vidyayaha. Sesha apeksha. Sahakari sadhana sambandha. Va yujyate. Okay. See, in the following three lines, the following lines, Shankara presents three why karma cannot, need not follow jnanam as complement or supplement for the attainment of moksha. In fact, karma, jnanam and karma are of diagonally opposite nature. Tamav prakashavat viruddha dharmo. Just as darkness and light are diagonally opposite to each other, light and opaque are completely opposed to each other. Similarly here, jnanam and karma, opposed means what? Not opposed in sense. Like jnanam and karma, light and opaque I can say, not there. The darkness and light, tava prakashavat, isn't it? Just as light and darkness are diagonally opposed to each other, in the presence of one, other cannot be there. Similarly, they are of completely of opposite nature. Viruddha dharma. So what are the three, what are the virodhas, what are the contradictions between the, Shankara presents three contradictions. One is swarupa bhedaha. Karma swarupam is different, jnana swarupam is different. Now, swarupa bhedaha he presents. Then he is going to talk about the vishaya bhedaha. Vishaya bhedaha. Then he is going to talk about three differences he talk about. Swarupa bhedaha, vishaya bhedaha, phala bhedaha. The benefit of art is completely different. The benefit of karma is completely different. The nature of karma is different. Nature of jnanam is different. The subject matter of the jnanam and karma are also different. So, karma bedaha, phala bedaha, swarupa bedaha, vishaya bedaha, phala bedaha. These three differences are there. Now, based on these three differences, we can say very well, jnanam itself is moksha. Jnanam does not require anything else in support of it for moksha. Okay? He is going to say that. Why karma is not possible after Jnanam? Not possible means what? With the kartrutvam you can't do it. Isn't it? I am the doer that you will be doing. Jnani performs karma. When you don't do it with the kartrutvam, that karma is not required anymore, isn't it? It is not involved in your moksha. And a mukta purusha is performing karma. He is not still performing the karma, not for moksha, isn't it? All day muktaha. Jnanam alone has already given him the moksha. I'm going to say that. Look at this now. Nahi. Nahi means what? No. No means what? Jnanam does not involve karma at all. Jnanam does not require anything else. As sahakari sadhanam or seshataya. Or as supplement. Or as a compliment. Okay.
Sarva kriya karaka.
Phala veda buddhi tiraskarinya brahma vidyayaha. See, brahma vidya is tiraskarini. Brahma vidya means the knowledge of Brahman. Is what now? Knowledge of Brahman is tiraskarini. Tiraskar negates. Negates what? Tiraskar means negator. Negator of what? Negator of very this Veda Buddhi. It negates all these differences. Veda Buddhi means it negates all the differences. In Jnanam, all these differences get negated. They're not there anymore, isn't it? What differences? All the Karaka Vedas. See, karma involves all the karakas. Karakas means what? All these, you know, karta, karma, subject of action, agent of action, object of action, instrument of action, upadanam. Isn't it? And all the six karakas are there. Where is it done? When is it done? How is it done? If you ask all these questions, you get all the answers will be in karakas only. The declensions, isn't it? Karakas. So all the karakas are there. The karakas are what now? No? And also, karaka, and also, they're all different. The instrument of object, instrument of action is different. The performer of action is different. The benefit of action is different. Where the place is, location is different. The objects required for karma are all different. Therefore, it's called, he says, sarva kriya karaka, and also phala. And different karma, different phalam also. Veda buddhihi. All these differences involved in terms of karakas required for karma, they all get negated in jnanam. So, Brahma Vidya is tiraskarini, negator of all the differences in terms of karakas required for karma. Is it clear? It's one thing. Therefore, sesha apeksha sahakari sadhana sambandha va na yujyate. Therefore, this is the first difference, nature. Okay, it's called what now? Swarupa bedaha. What is Swarupa Bedha here? Karma requires all the karakas. In jnanam, all the differences in terms of karakas get negated in jnanam. This is Swarupa Bedha between karma and jnanam. You must have the doership first of all in jnanam, isn't it? To do the karma. There's no doership in jnanam. In karma, you need to have doership. Only the doership is there, then all the differences are possible, isn't it? So karma is dependent on karakas, the different karakas. Whereas in jnanam, all the differences get negated. One is requirement of karakas, one is negation of, one is of the nature of negating the Karakas. Is it not? It's called Swarupa Bheda. So, Sarva Kriya Karaka Phala Bheda Buddhi Tiraskarinya Brahma Vidyayaha Sesha Apeksha Sahakari Sadhana Sambandhaha Va Na Yujyate. Is it clear? It is not Na Yujyate means it is not fit, doesn't fit in. What doesn't fit in here? Karma being required as supplement or complement of knowledge is not appropriate, not possible. Then next is Vishyabheda. He is going to say Sarva Vishaya Vyavritta Pratyagatma Vishaya Nishtatvat Cha Brahma Vidyayaha Tat Palasya Cha Nishreyasasya Mokshamichan Sada Karmatya Jedeva Sasadhanam Tajataiva Hi Tajneyam Tyaktuho Pratyakparampadam Tasmat Karmanam Sahakaritvam Karmasesha Apekshava Na Jnanasya Upapadyate. Okay, he says one more thing. Sarva Vishaya Vyavritta Pratyagatma Vishaya Nishtatvat. See, Jnanam, what is Jnanam? In Jnanam, there is Atmanishtatvam, isn't it? Atmanishtatvam means what? Atmanishtatvam means remaining steadfast in the vision of the self, which is called Atmajnanam. Brahmajnanam means Atmajnanam. Atmajnanam means what now? Pratyagatmanishtatvam means what now? Knowing one's own inner self, innermost self being the truth. In that jnanam, what do you understand? The self being free from all the karmas. Sarva vishaya vyavrittam. Vyavritta pratyagatma vishaya nishtatvat. This is the first. In what happens in jnanam, self is devoid of everything. Self doesn't have anything, isn't it? From the standpoint of Atma, does Atma have anything? Atma has no bandha, Atma has no moksha, Atma has no purushartha, Atma has no jnanam, Atma has no sadhanam, sadhyam, Atma has no shariram, no deha, no not karma, na karta, nothing. Atma is devoid of everything. Then Atma is the vishaya, isn't it? For in jnanam, Atma, whose swarupam is said to be, what a free from everything, devoid of everything, then Atma is subject matter of the jnanam. Isn't it? Therefore, when you say Atma is of the nature of actionlessness, and that Atma is the Atma whose swarupam is actionlessness is subject matter of the jnana. Is subject of knowledge, isn't it? Object means what? Is the very vishaya. Object of knowledge is the vishaya of knowledge, jnana, isn't it? When Atma, which is of the nature of actionlessness, happens to be the subject matter of knowledge, how can in that jnanam karma is possible? How do you say that jnanam requires again? Knowledge itself is what? Karma is not possible again. This is second Shankara's second Veda. The third Veda Then Pallabhedaha. Pallabhedam he says now. Look at this. Palasyacha Brahma Vidyayaha. That Palasyacha Nishreyasasya. Nishreyas is the moksha. Okay, mokshasya. No, Brahma Vidyayaha Palam is mokshaha. And that moksha, what he said in the Upanishads, he quotes he presents some quotations. Moksham ichchanna sada karma tyajedeva sasadhanam. The one who is desirous of moksha, may he give up the actions, along with all the instruments, may he pursue only jnanam. Moksham ichchanna purushaha, the one who is desperate for moksha, may he give up all the actions along with all other means of attainment. May he go only for jnanam. That is said. That's it. That's one quotation. Another quotation. Tyajata evahi tadjneyam. I mean tyaktva evahi tadjneyam. Tyaktuhu pratyak parampadam. See, tyaktvaya means only by renouncing the very notion, I am the doer. Tat jnayam, that the swarupam of the truth has to be understood. Who? Tyaktuhu pratyak parampadam. The renouncer's absolute end has to be, moksha, has to be accomplished only by what? Giving up the notion that I am the doer. By giving up the actions, isn't it? All these mantras also recommend what? Only jnanam, jnanam, give up the actions, go for jnanam. Which means, not that give up the actions means, or should give up the actions without being prepared for jnanam. Once you're prepared, then don't get stuck only with the karma for moksha. Then go exclusively for jnanam, for moksha. That's what he says, isn't it? Which means karma is exclusively prescribed as a means of the attainment of moksha. There karma is not mentioned as a complement or supplement of jnanam as a requirement. Which means because of these threefold differences, because the karma and jnanam are completely contradictory natures, no? Contradictory to each other. Now, because of these three contradictions there between this jnanam and karma, in terms of nature, in terms of the subject matter, in terms of the benefit also. Jnanam can give you moksha, but karma cannot give you. Karma is time bound. So the time bound karma can produce only time bound result. The time bound result can be artha kama dharma, not moksha. And then here infinite alone can give you the infinite end called moksha. Therefore jnanam, the benefit of the knowledge is the moksha, which is permanent end, only permanent end, and all other ends attainable through the performance of actions are time bound ends. So palabhedaha. See, when you say difference in jnanam and karma, I understand karma jnanam and atma jnanam. When you say karma, the difference between karma and jnanam in terms of subject matter means, we have to understand karma jnanam and atma jnanam. Isn't it? So in atma jnanam, subject matter is the self which is of the nature of actionlessness. In the karma jnanam, the subject matter is all the knowledge of different rituals, etc. Completely different, isn't it? Therefore, karma and jnanam are different. In the knowledge, what you arrive at is the nature of the self being actionlessness. And how can you say that jnanam, where you understand the nature of the self being actionlessness, and karma needs to be included for moksha? Is it clear? So he presents three Vedas Shankara in here. Okay, now let us see now. Tasmat means therefore, karmanam sahakaritvam a karmasesha apekshava na jnanasya upapadyate. Therefore, it is not tenable, it is not possible for karma to be taken as the complementary requirement or supplementary requirement of jnanam for moksha. Not required. Okay? He finished, complete, now answered his Purupakshi's query or objection. Tataha asadeva. Therefore, it is not correct. Asadeva, what now? It is not correct. What is not correct? Suptavaka anumantrana. Anumantranavat yatha yogam vibhagaha iti. Now he says, therefore, your example of, you know, sutravaka anumantrana vibhagaha iva vat, is it? Like the selection of the appropriate mantras relevant for the occasion. Selection of appropriate mantras relevant for the occasion, that such division, no? Such is not possible here with reference to mokshaha. Jnanam, with reference to jnanam here. Jnanam, there's no such thing called, we can't select only karma, leave the pramanam, leave the Vedangas and take only karma for as supplementary or complementary for jnanam, for jnanam to be effective. Understand? Therefore, your example is not relevant here, not appropriate here. You got what I'm saying? Got it? Okay. Tasmat avadharanartata eva. Therefore, what he wants to say? Avadharana artata eva. Avadharana artata eva prashna prativachanasya upapadyate. Prashna prativachanasya upapadyate. So, prashna prativachanam means what now? The teacher's reply to the student's question. Student's request. The teacher's reply to the student's request is called prashna prativachanam. Prativachanam is reply. Whose reply? The teacher's reply. To whom? To what? Teacher's reply to the student's statement in implying the doubt. He did not ask. He did not ask the question. He only presented a statement, requested the teacher, Brahma Vidyam Bruhi, Upanishadam Bruhi, teach me Upanishad. This was the sentence of the student. And even as a simple statement, this statement indicates what? Implies what? Implication is the doubt. Implication is the doubt. What doubt? Is there anything else that I have to do after the jnanam, along with the jnanam? Should I incorporate anything else, isn't it? With the jnanam, to make the jnanam effective. That is the implication of the students. The doubt is implied through his statement. So teacher gives answers what? Upanishadam abhruma. Brahmim Upanishadam abhruma. Te Upanishad ukta. Two sentences conveying the same meaning is what for now? Itself is confirmation, affirmation, that no doubt teaching is complete, jnanam is enough. You do not need anything anymore along with the jnanam, either as a complement or as a supplement. Okay, therefore, that answer teaches, now avadharanam, avadharanartha, yes, the teacher's answer is what? Confirmation that knowledge itself is enough. Nothing else is required more than jnanam. This fact is confirmed. The teacher's answer implies the confirmation of the fact that knowledge does not require anything more. Understand? That's what the last sentence says. Tasmat avadharana artata eva prativachanasya. Avadharana artata. Our answer has the answer enjoys the status of being the confirmation. So answer presents the confirmation. Answer has the confirmation. Reinforcement. Confirmation. Reconfirmation or affirmation. What is affirmation? What is the confirmation? The confirmation of the fact. What is the fact? Jnanam does not require anything more. Jnanam itself is enough for Purusharta. Etavad eva iyam upanishat. Etavati. Eva iyam upanishat. Ukta. Anya nirapeksha. Amrutatvaya. So Upanishad Ukta Anya Nirapeksha Amrutatvaya. Yam Upanishad Ukta Evam. This Upanishad Ukta Evam. What in this manner Upanishad has been taught? No? Anya nirapeksha amrutatvaya. Okay? Anya nirapeksha amrutatvaya means amrutatvaya for the attainment of immortality in terms of moksha. Anya nirapeksha. No? Non-requirement of anything else other than jnanam. Non-requirement of anything more than jnanam, other than jnanam, apart from jnanam, for the moksha, okay, being the fact, is revealed in this statement. This is revealed with the statement that through the teaching of this Upanishad. So, Iyam Upanishad Ukta means this Upanishad has been taught. This Brahma Vidya has been given. Anya nirapeksha amrutatvaya. You don't require anything else. Nirapeksha means non-requirement. Non-requirement of anything other than jnanam for moksha, which means this jnanam itself is enough for moksha. Yamimam. Brahmim. Upanishadam tava agre abruma iti ya imam brahmim upanishadam tava agre abruma. So what that Brahma Upanishadam means, the Brahma Vidya which alone is required, which does not have the requirement of anything else for moksha, which we have already taught to you in the very with the first two chapters itself. Later on what? Agre, it has been given. Later on also, the same thing has been given to you through this story. Is it clear? Iti. Finished. Is it clear? It's good, isn't it? It's very good. You made it very clear, isn't it? Actually, for this particular thing, we should go to Taittiriya, Bhashyam. I should take that and then I should do it for you. Maybe when I have time, I'll do it for you. But just to understand one thing, knowledge does not require anything as a say with seshattvam or as sahakari sadhanattvam. The two important points. As something as a part of knowledge or something as an independent, supplementary, of requirement for jnana. That he beautifully establishes there. But you know, he just mentions briefly as Swarupa Beda, Vishya Beda and Pala Beda. Nice chapter. We'll conclude next week.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. It's nice. We will complete thing. We'll conclude it next week. Yeah, maybe I should give some notes for you. Right. Yeah?
You emphasized several times that there will be two statements, one in the passive and one active. You've been taught it, I taught it to you. Well, and the way you repeated it so often, it seems that there's some significance in it.
No, significance is same, sometimes Upanishad present, whenever Upanishads repeat the same matter, same teaching, something, there's a for emphasis, repetition of one thing, if you repeat it, it becomes a punarukti, it's called punarukti dosha, the error of repetition. Repetition of anything is said to be error, considered to be error, literally in literature, any language, any book. Punarukti, it's called punarukti doshaha, a defect, it's a defect actually. In a proper presentation of communication, if you repeat it, it's called error of repetition, punarukti doshaha. But in Vedanta alone, the repetition, that's why I escape. In Vedanta, you don't have that, you can't call it, it's error of repetition. Punarukti dosha is not there. So whenever it is repeated, it's only for emphasis, only for reinforcement. And here also, there's a repetition, isn't it? The teacher conveys the same thing, but he changes the voice. And that which means that twice repetition, the twice he says the same thing, which is repetition, and he is conveying the same thing, itself is the proof for stating the teaching is complete. There's nothing incomplete here. The teaching is not incomplete. The teaching is complete. Which means knowledge, with the knowledge, he stops. Even though one more verse is presented, that should not be mistaken for something required as a sahakari sadhanam or sesha sadhanam, isn't it? Something required as a part of knowledge or as something, a parallel, another means, not mistaken. That is repetition of the repetition of the same thing into different statements, types of sentences, is only for reinforcement, only for the emphasis of the fact the teacher implies. There's an implication, the part the teacher's reply also, isn't it? What is implied is, knowledge is enough. Knowledge is the fact of knowledge, its knowledge being, not dependent on anything else, not requiring anything in support of knowledge. That fact is emphasized. That's all. Because I say, because we stopped off class after a long time, no? We didn't have classes for 2 weeks, 2-3 weeks. That's why I wanted to, I went back little and came. Because we had to remember, isn't it, completely we're out of touch. I never touched the book until today after 2 weeks, isn't it? So I just had to go back to see what is there. So I repeated. It's my repetition, a teacher's repetition. Anything else? Actually, when you perform karma as yoga, when you are pursuing jnanam, when you are, then karma is required, isn't it? For preparing your mind, karma is required. When practicing disciplines, etc., then you seek Bhagavan's grace in terms of worship and prayer, etc., there is karma is required. Because there all jnanam is not there, still ajnanam is there, isn't it? Only in ajnanam all these are required. Only in bondage all of them are required. So even during Shravanam, Rajniji, even during Shravanam karma is required. Even during Mananam karma is required. But all of Vedas are required during Shravanam, during Mananam, Vedangas are required, karmas are required. All of them are required even during Shravanam and Mananam, isn't it? Even in Nididhyasanam, karma is required means what? I mean for moksha. For moksha, you don't need, for relative life you need everything, but I mean, I'm talking about for moksha, the mind, isn't it? For the relief, the mental, the bondage is in the mind, that until the bondage is resolved through the resolution of ignorance, through jnanam, isn't it? Once the jnanam takes place, what else do you need other than jnanam for undoing that notion, isn't it? So after jnanam is not required anything is not required.
It's just, I think, when I look at it, it's such a different type of knowledge to anything that I've ever, I mean, my view of knowledge, you know something, there's always something more to be known, or more to be known about that thing. Or about
that is, that's else. Why, that's why we say, Vishaya Jnanam, Atma Jnanam. You reduce everything into two.
Yeah.
Knowledge within the material world is always incomplete.
Yeah.
Knowledge of anything other than the self will be knowledge of an objective, knowledge pertaining to the objective world, the material world, and which will ever be incomplete knowledge. Because what is to be known is as vast as the universe. And the span of life the mind has in given life is very, very short, isn't it? So how much can you learn? How much can you know? That is why knowledge will ever be incomplete. Knowledge of anything in the world will be incomplete knowledge. It's not useless knowledge, no. Incomplete knowledge. So incomplete knowledge cannot give you, is it?
What I'm interested in.
Whereas knowledge of the self is said to be complete knowledge.
Yeah. Well, there seems to be a distinction between these two types of knowledge. The knowledge where you know all sorts of things, and it's never complete. It's always dissatisfied. And then the knowledge that knows the self is a completely different type of knowledge. And it's not a knowledge that I'm familiar with. Because the knowledge in itself is complete.
Yeah. The knowledge is self-knowledge is complete.
It's complete and it all is
because nothing needs to be more. See, this one thing, knowledge of one thing is complete knowledge. Mm. Knowledge of the self is complete knowledge. Yeah. Purna jnanam. Why? Because it's truth of everything.
Yeah.
Okay, nothing needs to be known more than satchit anandam. Mm. Understand? Whereas in knowledge of anything in the world will always leave you some doubts behind.
Yeah.
Okay? That's why it's called incomplete knowledge. Apurna jnana.
Yeah. Well, that knowledge itself, that knowledge of the self, is like, it's the same as the self. It's complete in itself all the time. It's not something that can be added to or it can be fulfilled. It is complete in itself all the time.
The knowledge is moksha.
Yeah.
Because in knowledge you will disappear. The one who wants to know will disappear.
I think that's what I find is the dilemma, because that knowledge is so completely different to the knowledge that I am familiar with.
Yeah.
That I can use, if you like, as an object. Completely different. And that's a wonderful thing. It's absolutely wonderful.
That is why we say absolute knowledge.
Yeah.
We say liberating knowledge.
Mm.
And we say paravidya, param jnanam.
Yeah. Well, that's extraordinary.
We say everything is apara, isn't it? Apara is incomplete. Para will be complete.